This is a presentation of a part of him.com. The comments and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent the views of a part of him.com, Death Ray Comics, or for that matter, any real intelligent people.
The following program contains coarse language and nudity.
It is definitely not recommended for the squeamish or easily offended.
Discretion is advised.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
The real question is this. Are comic books good or are they not good?
It's a legitimate question. It deserves an answer.
These rotten comic books.
What do you think of comic books, Ronald?
They're all right, but they scare me.
Comics upset kids.
The dialogue had double meanings, and the emphasis, of course, was on sex. It was pretty rough if kids had their hands on it.
All right, Ronald, thank you very much.
Welcome back to 4CC. We like to call it Fork. Four critters creepily cosmicking.
Four cantankerous conjurers.
That is a good one. Because it's magic themed. And if there's one thing we know about...
Oh, I should have called them a cyber conjurer. Cyber conjurer? Yeah. Well, but that's not a
Wait, so like they're like... doing like chat room stuff, if you know what I mean. That's what cyber means.
No, I swear because
you get into a chat room
be...
and you're like, hey, want a cyber? And she's like, or he, you know, you don't know.
We talked about this during Cyber Ed. I think that was maybe just like a small window of, I don't know. You just hit like
it really
a
affected
very narrow
me.
Demographic.
It affected, that part of the internet affected me a lot.
Possibly.
I'm sorry.
It touched you.
Well, I touched me. For what, Steve?
Jeez, I don't know. I didn't want you to start the recording yet because I hadn't come up with
too
one.
Too late.
Oh, dang it. Where's a dictionary?
Oh, for crappening crap. One of the dogs just farted and it reeks.
Wow.
I'll bet it was Michael Cera. Look
could
at him.
Four chomping cliff faces.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that is a good one. That is a good one. Patooey. This week we are reading the Hasbro action figure to television to comic book Visionaries, Knights of the Magic Light.
Magical Light.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. If you remember, and you probably don't.
So bad.
I know it stinks so bad.
It's like he ate a skunk, and the skunk is spraying out of his butthole.
Out of his butthole. Your parents may have purchased you one of these thinking that it was a He-Man, but they're not.
When you're saying He, like,
I
they
think
may
they
have.
Just had a lot of leftover He-Man parts.
They're like, so we can just make a new torso and
they'll
all
fit. They had one, like the night janitor, put them all together, and then they gave that to their writing team and said, hey guys, make a comic book out of this.
He originally wanted to call it Night Janitors, spelled with a K. Trent, you're saying your parents may have bought you this because I believe your parents may have bought you this?
No, I had one of these.
Right, you had one of these.
Yeah, I did have one of these. Uh-huh. And
Can you describe
So
what sort of toy it is?
Yeah, essentially it's if you ever remember like the He-Man that you'd roll their chest back and you'd hit it and another one would roll forward so it was battle damaged.
Oh yeah!
So it basically take
like the Skeletor and like with the battle.
So
damage.
it's one of those,
or
but
like when what's that guy's name? Many Faces, from Masters of the Universe, kind of like that.
Like,
or Triclops.
But take that out,
right?
And then just put a hologram, not unlike that of the very popular baseball cards at the time when you could get a baseball hologram,
okay,
or you could get a baseball card on a post cereal box that was a hologram. Uh-huh. These are the silvery, like turn rainbow color hologram foil looking things that were awful.
Okay.
And that was the gimmick, is that they had these holograms in their chests.
These hologram stickers
they
on their chests.
They were He-Mans with hologram stickers in their chests.
That explains why in the comic book they look like if you got Alistair Smythe to build a Kang or Krang from a...
Yes, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, exactly. Like a body, that's what it would look like.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, that was it.
Right.
That was the whole gimmick.
Right, yeah.
It was packaged just like the He-Mans and stuff.
They don't even change colors when you run them under cold water.
No, wait. Or
was that hot water?
Did some of the He-Mans do that?
Not He-Mans.
I think that was Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong didn't.
Ugh.
I know there were, I think Mermaid Barbie did.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. I mean, I saw the commercials.
Right, yeah.
And then when she'd pee herself.
What?
No, that's something else. Never mind.
Do mermaids
have a water baby?
Do mermaids just have like a cloaca?
Yeah, I've often wondered about
that. Do they just have like a hole somewhere? Because they're like,
I don't think they have anything.
They just don't have anything.
They would
have eggs, right?
No.
How
have you ever seen a pregnant merwoman? No,
that's
no
true.
One
that's
has.
A good
that's
point.
Why I think they lay eggs, and then the dude comes over and sperminates on them.
That's why Ariel.
If anything, it would be a lot like how the seahorse does it, where the woman lays the eggs, but then gives it to the man to hold in the pouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think that's how it works, because they're all just smooth down there.
Also, except for Ursula.
She was an octopus.
She was straight up tentacle porn, man.
Well, yeah,
she wasn't
a mermaid.
She was a merpuss.
No, she was a
merctopus.
A puss maid.
She'd be a puss maid.
Right?
I think so. Hey, stop licking the wall.
Surprisingly not Michael Cera this time.
Yeah.
Or a customer at Death Ray Comics.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Trent's Dog Daycare.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right, Steve. Why don't you... We're in for a treat, folks. And we're going to try and get through it as quickly as possible. It is a long comic book. However, there are some great ad breaks that I'm excited for.
Oh, yeah. Somebody be looking
through.
Because
this is my prime for toys.
Okay, so Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light. We open on a sci-fi setting.
Wait, can we do the Pebble comic first?
Okay, ADD break on the inside cover.
I didn't read it.
It's Mad Libs.
It's like write your own Pebbles,
like Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah, with Fred and that other guy.
And they're saying write your own comic, but there's only like four words that you can write in.
Yeah.
That's all, it's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He's saying, let's see, hey kids, help me trick Fred out of his pebbles. And Fred is saying, yabba dabba delicious.
Yabba dabba delicious.
And then
wait, that's Barney.
The caption says, write in the missing words to help Barney trick Fred. What is Barney pretending? Help Fred, or help Fred, there should be a comma there.
Okay,
it's a directive.
This is awful.
Help Fred, there's a big
bad
dick in your yard.
Bad things are happening. Let's move on.
What flavor
Someday
does Barney favor?
We will start a Mad Libs podcast, but today is not that day.
It worked. Now I get to taste Fred's balls pebble cereal.
His cock pebble cereal.
Yeah, I already used dick, though. Oh. So anyway, okay. So like
that one actually might work as like a...
Oh, like a podcast?
As a live podcast.
Yeah,
you just have to have people tweet in.
Yeah.
The adjectives
or whatever. That's
nouns.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, that one
actually might work.
I don't know.
The dogs are going after a spider.
Get it, Daisy? That's like the one thing
They just left. They
lost his trail. They lost. Okay, so it starts out, we're looking upon a sci-fi city with like spaceships flying around.
Space.
It's not in space, though. It's on a planet.
It's in a planet.
A planet called Prismos.
Prismos. I wonder if they have holographic prisms they use.
Maybe. They've got three suns.
Yeah. So this planet has three suns. And
I'm not sure how they pulled that off, because a trinary system, like with a stable orbit,
that's not possible, right?
It probably is, but it'd just be super weird.
The way that system is depicted, I don't think that it's possible, because what I remember from that guy that's got that podcast, you know, Space Bro Science or whatever that was, I forget that guy's name.
Star Talk Radio?
Yeah, Star Talk Radio.
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah, with that guy.
There are so many people angry at Steve right now.
He was saying that you can have a double sun if the suns are close enough to each other and the planet is far enough away that the planet will kind of like perceive the sun
as
like
one,
just one.
Or if the suns are far enough apart and one of them just orbits one of the suns.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Was that Star Talk in response to the suns on Tatooine?
It was, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these suns are about to align, I guess.
But nobody knows that because there aren't any astrologers on
this
planet.
Well, one guy knows it, but we won't meet him later. So the city that we're looking at is New Valark.
I love the names in this.
Yeah, that's how I knew we were off to a good start. Because we had Prismos is the name of the planet, and then New Valark, kind of great, bad sci-fi fantasy.
Oh, they
names.
Get so much
and
better, too.
Then, so we're in, we zoom in, we keep zooming in to the Iron Mountain Diner, which is a restaurant stuck to the underside of a cliff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's staffed by robots and a compu chef, which will analyze your nutritional needs, which, I mean, you know, so far so good.
Yeah.
An old wizard walks in. He starts berating the
tech. I can't
decide
if I want to call this guy Space Moses or just Alan Moore.
He does look like Moses. Yeah.
Well, Alan Moore is a wizard, so that would make sense.
Like he's berating the technology, including like the door, the automatic door, you know, like which is voice activated. Voice activated. Like we already have something that is superior to that, which is a door that is like person activated.
I like how it's voice activated, and to activate it, he says, "By the magical light, open." So like
So maybe he was doing a spell.
The hell if it was. Automatic doors were a thing when this was made.
When was this made?
Well, yeah.
Like 89? 93?
Automatic doors totally were. And so, you're saying it's not like retro sci-fi. It's not like 50s sci-fi or whatever. Because like this guy totally lived in a world where every day probably he was using something better.
He would go to the mall
to
where he bought his comic books because that was a thing.
Right, yeah.
And the doors would open for him.
Just automatically. He didn't
have
to say anything.
However, maybe he's just always said it to himself when he walked in.
Well, he probably, every time he enters the mall, says, "By the magical light."
Because we
I just want to point out that "By the magical light open" is something you would expect Dr. Orpheus from the Venture Brothers to say.
Yeah, exactly.
"By the magic light."
All I'm saying is, some people...
That sounded more like the dad from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
George Michael Sr.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. What were you saying? Something about CompuChefs?
Page 2.
Not yet. Quit stepping on my lines. So the robot Maitre D gives him a laser breathalyzer because he thinks that the wizard's drunk or whatever. The wizard explains that the age of science is about to end and the age of magic will begin.
Will?
What?
Is there a thing you want to say right now?
There's a lot of things I want to say. We'll get to them as they go.
But when he says magic, is there anything that comes to mind that you need to say?
I'm thinking of
magic! Yes, thank you.
Okay, so then...
I was thinking, like, at this point, I was expecting it to be like, it's a world where technology and magic are one and the same, you know? Like,
except it's kind of the opposite.
Cybermancy.
So that was a pleasant surprise. I figured that... It was going to be like that, and then it wasn't. It turned out to be much worse. So that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like somebody was like, you can't mix magic and science. And like, so instead he created this whole contraption where like every 1,000 years, the planet's odometer rolls over and it starts a new age of like science or magic.
And,
anyway.
And when we say he, you mean a room full of writers.
Oh, yeah. Well, because this... like, this comic book is adapted from the screenplay of the first episode of Visionaries.
Yes.
But anyway.
Again, this is a Star comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was Marvel's licensed properties. They put everything in here. So,
Some robot bouncers grab him. They're about to throw the wizard out, but then an EMP hits. And, like, all the robots fall down. The wizard, who introduces himself as Merklin...
Old ball wig. That's his name.
What?
Ball wig?
Yeah. I've never heard that before. He's technically a Merkin, but his
name sounds like
Merkin.
Okay. Shit, why didn't I think of that?
That was the first thing I thought of.
Oh, damn it. Yeah,
I was like, what's this guy's name? Yeah. Merlin? They can't just straight up call him Merlin. Oh, wait, that's got a K in it.
That's true.
Well, except,
it
like,
is
you
like
could
Merkin.
Straight up call him Merlin. Like, yeah. Merlin is public domain.
Yeah, but I like Merkin better.
Yeah.
Merklin?
No, Merkin.
Okay.
He's now a wig for private parts.
The wizard, Merkin, teleports the diners to safety as the restaurant crashes down, because I guess it was being held up by science?
By anti-gravity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Science.
Yeah.
Robots.
Anyway.
I just don't understand why more people aren't really pissed off at this guy for breaking science.
Right. Yeah. Because, like, then the entire civilization falls into chaos. There are, like, you know, spaceships falling out of the sky and, like, I don't know, buildings falling down because apparently they don't care about architecture when they have anti-gravity beams.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. After a while, the survivors start rebuilding civilization. Knights start building armor out of old technology. Old armor-shaped technology.
Yeah.
So that was handy.
And so we have...
There's probably just one real sick guy that, like, the way he got off was getting inside of dead robots. And, like, that was his thing.
Yeah.
And somebody caught him once, and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I have had thee. And he started... He laid about them, because it seems like right here is where they switch straight up from sci-fi talk to fantasy talk.
Right, yeah, yeah. And
you
so
know,
now...
Because... Just because there's some kind of calamity, suddenly your vocabulary changes, you know, as does your entire
language. You now have a higher speech.
Well, yeah, like if your speech wasn't being influenced by Twitter every day, you know, like then, like, you know, we'd revert back to old English. Anyway, so we're introduced to, like, two groups of knights.
I got to this point, and I was thinking, who the hell is the protagonist in this book, and who should I be caring about?
And, like, it takes, like, five pages to get to this
point.
So
many
pages.
You could have opened at this point.
That's the beauty of it, Will. You should be caring about your favorite of the 12 available action figures.
Yeah, that really
the one that your parents accidentally bought you.
Not gonna lie.
Okay.
Play with your He-Mans, Will.
So, the evil ones, there's one named Recon, spelled with a K.
With two E's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's Mortdread. I'm guessing he's evil. There's Darkstorm, also probably evil. So these three bad dudes, they catch some people with a net
allegedly.
Snare. No, because, like, they're totally bad because they are catching humans.
Yeah, his first word is the fools have stumbled right into my trap. No good guy ever has said those fools have stumbled right into my trap.
The internet's been off for a couple of weeks and these guys are already hunting the most dangerous game.
Yeah. Well, they had nowhere to troll online, so they had to... You know, bait people in real life.
Mortdread.
But
that's
luckily,
the stupidest name ever.
Luckily for these plebs, Feryl, Ektar, and Leoric show up to save them.
Yeah, that's who I decided the main character was going to be because it sounded like something you would name a lion, like
Ektar?
Leoric.
Oh yeah.
Or like, wasn't that like the name of the what, like a Lego king?
Maybe
they were always named after lions because they had lions on their shirts.
The lion.
Oh
shirts
yeah, that's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they show up
one
to save...
One has a whip, so, you know.
You can tell the good guys from
He's the one that got caught.
He's the originator.
Yeah, he was... Yeah.
Patient zero.
He was the alpha knight.
Where he was so ashamed of his robondage that he... he invented chivalry.
Oh my god, robondage! That's the greatest term I've ever heard.
Is cyberpunk chivalry. Okay, you can tell the good guys from the bad guys in this comic because the bad guys all have enclosed helmets and you never see their faces.
But you can only assume that they have sweet mustaches like the
or,
good
yeah,
guys
like
do.
Or scars or, I don't know, like, yeah, some ugly scars. To
And
so
their armor isn't blue.
Bad. Right, yeah.
It took me a long time to figure out how many of these guys there were, I'm not going to lie.
All of the knights, regardless of their alignment, have TVs on their tummies.
Winchests. Like, you know, they're...
you know, like, so this is obviously the spot where the stickers are going to go.
Yes.
But, like...
They haven't got there yet.
They haven't got there yet.
Haven't got there yet.
It's, what do you call those? It's like...
A foreshadow?
Well, so, like, a skeuomorph is, like, something that, like... Or no. I mean, like, a vestigial thing is something, like... That you don't need anymore, like
that's left
but
over,
like a precursor,
yeah,
vestigial.
Like a reverse,
like a vestigial tail,
reverse vestigial sticker plates,
yeah,
like they don't have the stickers yet, but they have a place for the stickers
to
go.
It's a preemptive sticker plate,
all of them do. And like, we already saw the robots, didn't have these things on them,
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
The yeah, so the
maybe there's just one dude making all the armor,
it could be.
And you know what he gets off on?
Yeah, Paul the Night
Everyone
janitor.
Else's armor.
maybe Merkin was just, you know.
And that's like a collection plate in their chest for when he gets off. How else are they going to get the stickers to stick there?
Ugh.
We don't have science for glue.
Oh, that's probably true. In history, everything probably was stuck together with jizz.
Especially Merkins.
Yeah.
Until somebody was like, we can't go on living like this. Let's just kill some horses and turn them into glue.
Speaking of Merkin, we haven't heard from the guy that ruined civilization for a while.
Right, yeah. So mid-fight, Merkin's face appears in the sky. He promises fabulous powers to like the people who are fighting or whatever, and he, well, I guess just to everybody.
Yeah, to everyone.
I want to point out this, like, is like the biggest dick plan ever. Like, the whole point of technology is to increase the power of everyone.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
it's supposed to be, yeah.
And his main complaint about technology is how everyone's so reliant on technology, uh-huh. And how we're all suckling at the robotic teat and it's making humanity weak.
Some of them literally.
And all of this, yeah. Probably. And so his great plan is that he's going to take away all the power from everybody, and then he's going to give it to some other, like, all of the power to a couple
few.
Of people.
Yeah, to a select few people.
Which You're is right. Like, I didn't even think about
yeah,
that.
Like, he's just a jackass.
Yeah,
what
he's
a dick.
Yeah. Like, how is that supposed to make the world better? Instead of making everyone better, I'm going
right,
to make
yeah.
everyone worse, and then a couple of people all powerful. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And benefit humanity.
And, like, he doesn't even care if they're good or not, as we find out later.
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay, so he promises magic powers to,
see,
I guess,
see, that's what I was
can...
really confused about. I'm like, yeah. Oh, after the good guys beat up the bad guys, Merlin appears and is like, hey, guys, you
yeah.
want some power? I've got some. You should come get it, you know? Because clearly you are good and worthy people, but nope.
That's not what happens,
no,
he says.
I'm just going to spray it out there, and whatever hits your face, neck, and chest, you're stuck with.
Well, no. He hasn't given anybody magic powers yet. He
basically
says,
whoever gets outside first and yells shotgun gets
yeah.
it.
Well, yeah, kind of. He says he wants them all to meet him at Iron Mountain, which you may remember from the ill-fated diner.
Hasn't gone far in
a fortnight.
In the past.
Well, he lived there. We didn't cover this, but he was living inside Iron Mountain for 1,000 years.
A thousand years, Rick and Morty.
He was a remnant of the last age of magic. He holed up inside his magical fortress, came out when the
sun
was
out, there was a floating Denny's out front, and he was like, by the power of light, open!
Yeah, see,
I don't think
what
that
I want to know is if the age of magic was so great, why did it end and science take over?
Wait, huh? Maybe...
You guys are missing this.
Maybe
because
he didn't... Maybe the doors were automatic.
I might be missing it, but my aim is getting better.
That's a quote. Yeah. I believe.
Maybe when he came out, the door actually opened on its own, but uh-huh. He's such a remnant of the old time, he thinks it needs to be magic power.
It could be.
And so he's saying, give me my Grand Slam breakfast,
yeah.
Robo Bondo Bot.
No, it was okay. So the premise is this planetary system.
It was a cyber chef,
like
or an electro chef.
Every 1,000 years, all of
let's breathalyze him.
All of the suns and the planet align, and that just flips the magic switch on or
yeah.
off.
So you know, like how every
so it's
like,
astrological.
10,000 years, the Earth's magnetic field like reverses polarity, and while it kills everything, and then
stuff
goes back
to
normal. It's like that, but instead of north and south, it's magic and technology.
Sure, yeah, because you know, one is obviously controlled by the other. Yeah.
Well, there's probably just a robot sitting in a mountain somewhere waiting for the suns to align so that he wake
flips
up.
The switch.
He can shoot a door with some electricity.
Yeah, he's got a trickle charger, you know, hooked up to his batteries so he doesn't, anyway.
And then all these wizards are like, forsooth, our metal man. And then, you know, he makes all their magic stop working.
He opens the door with Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so by the time Merklin's message stops, Darkstorm and Co. are gone. And then we cut to later at Darkstorm's castle. They decide to go to Magic Knight tryouts. Then we cut to Leoric's castle in New Valark. They also decide to go to Magic Knight tryouts. But Kravex...
Well, this guy's giving away free power.
Okay, now, guys, let me remind
you. He's done all the legwork and knows how to get it from the government, and he wants to pass it on to you.
In 87, American Gladiators was a huge hit, so it only makes sense that they would then, you know, have night tryouts.
The color schemes in this are interesting because, like, Darkstorm's castle is green and purple. Mm-hmm. Classic villain colors.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks like Snake Mountain without the mountain or the snake.
And then Leoric's castle is just, like, red and teal.
Sure.
Which, I mean, like, teal, also like not a heroic
track.
Color.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it blends so nicely with hologram colors.
I guess.
Oh, wait. The holograms are teal.
Are they?
Look at the cover.
I don't know. Anyway... So, like, while Leoric and Co are talking, Kravex the Curious was spying on them.
I wonder if he's Craven Moorhead.
Kravex Cervix the Curious was spying on them, and it, like, he's like, I'm going to go tell Darkstorm. But guess what? It doesn't matter because they're all going to Magic Mountain.
Everyone's going to Magic Mountain.
They're all going to ride.
It doesn't matter that, like,
they're all going to ride Splash Mountain at Magic Mountain.
Yeah. So can we go to Mount Splashmore?
Yep.
Can we go to Mount Splashmore? Anyway. Just loop that, and it'll be a funny bit.
Yeah, for Simpsons.
2 weeks later, they all show up at Magic Mountain. This is actually page 3. I missed it the first time.
Oh, you missed the cue.
Anyway, Merklin's face appears in the side of the mountain because that's what Merklin gets off on, making his face appear and stuff.
He likes to put himself inside of things.
I bet
Mount Merkmore.
I bet that, like, to make his face appear in something, he has to, like, press it.
He was probably
into...
wishing, man, I wish I just had, like, a loudspeaker and a TV for this. But too bad I screwed up technology.
I've got to make love to this mountain now to overtake it.
No, like, I think that to make his face appear in some material or whatever, he has to just press it really hard into some magic latex.
No, it's like those, those pin impression things.
Like
one of those.
Merklin basically says that the magic is hidden inside the mountain. While we're seeing these knights assemble, we see some of them have these big old staves. Mm-hmm. These magical staves.
Like, would you expect, like, a samurai to have, like, if he was, like, a standard bearer, but it doesn't have, like, a flag on it?
No, exactly.
They
look like army ensigns.
Well, they have, like, a big old mirror on them or whatever, but, like, we're supposed to believe that this is, like, an implement of combat? Like,
sure.
It never explains him. It never explains this weapon.
Well, where else are they supposed to put their second hologram?
I figured if the comic wanted me to know what was going on, it would tell me.
Because it does tell a lot.
I mean, like, you find out later that, like, that's where some additional holograms go.
Yeah.
And so they're reverse vestigial, like, hologram holders.
Yeah.
Like, these guys just came prepared.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know.
You mean the night janitor found these leftover sticks and was like, you know what?
I don't have enough for all of them, but like four of them could have these things.
And then the other ones can have swords.
It seems like a totally random distribution among these.
And then they get weapons. The other ones get weapons. My guy that I had didn't have a stick.
Oh.
He had a sword.
Okay. So a group climbs up to a mouth in the side of the mountain. It's totally a mouth. It's got like teeth and everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. It, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we
find out if it's going to swallow or not.
Galadria, who you might be thinking that's sort of a girly name for a knight. It is a girl.
What?
And then she stabs the Witch King of Agmar right in the head.
In the face.
No, she's going to meet her evil girl counterpart. Later on,
because
there's one good girl.
I just
want to
point out right
here,
this guy totally looks like Kraven the Hunter.
Oh yeah, he does. Okay. And there is a guy named Kraven.
So, although I don't think Kraven the Hunter has ever been under anything, you know, going patooey.
Yeah, well, that's because he got spit out.
Wait, what? Hang on. So Galadria is sort of suspicious. She doesn't go in the mouth.
Wait, she doesn't want to go into the giant mouth.
She then the mouth then eats and spits out the others.
Literally with the onomatopoeia.
Patooey. While the others are flying through the air, balloony kind of letters.
That's the best part.
Like if you were going to have someone spitting out their bubble gum.
Yeah, well, I mean, like while these other knights in full armor are flying past her, like down the side of a cliff, surely to their deaths, because like it wouldn't take very much of a fall to kill you if you landed on, you know, like any kind of a vital organ. Because, like,
armor.
All the, yeah.
Armor, Steve. They have armor on. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
The armor would kill you.
Yeah. No.
They don't have much armor.
Not with all the the Night Builder's semen padding on the inside. they could slosh around for days.
Gross.
So, like you know that chase in Scotland down for the Cheese Hill thing where they could totally survive one of those.
So anyway, like they fall off this thing, but then like Merkin just shows up.
Wait, no. So like they fall off the thing, and while they're flying past her, catch you later, guys. Galadriel says. So we find out that she is smarter than them.
She's
and
a
also,
cold-hearted bitch.
Yeah, stone cold bitch.
Which is, you know, for anyone that's holding out for some lesbian action, you think, all right, a tick in the right direction.
Then Merkin shows up at the foot of the cliff to basically laugh at them as they leave.
Yeah, like that's. So, I thought he was going to advance the plot or something, but no, he really is just there to be a dick.
He's a dick.
Surprising no one.
He's just a dick.
He's kind of a fun character. I like Merkin. Anyway, so another.
Fuck you, Steve.
Well, because he just showed up to laugh at them. Anyway.
And it's straight up a He-Man laugh, too, because it cuts off half of his face. Like they're always doing in He-Man.
Yes.
Okay, another group finds a tunnel that's full of blades, just like full of blades flying everywhere. Sir Speedy, whose real name, I guess, is Witterquick, he jumps through the blades. The other knights are like, no, we can't do it. We're not fast enough, but he's totally fast enough.
Yeah, well, it's because he's got one of the giant lollipops.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he goes, I am the fastest knight in the West.
Yeah.
That's
Arriba on the lay.
Speedy.
I had a Speedy Gonzales hat when I was a kid.
It's true.
It was awesome.
He called it his handicap.
You guys made me call it my handicap, and I didn't understand, and you guys would make fun of me, and so I would get mad at you, and then I would take my hat off and hit people with it.
Yeah.
Steve is the fastest boy with a handicap.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay, so I wish I still had that hat. That was an awesome hat.
So with a mighty ka-ching ka-ching, he makes it through. I'm not sure why.
Elsewhere, some knights are crossing a rope bridge, like inside, I guess, some cavern or whatever. Darkstorm and Co. They cross first. They cut the ropes, and the bridge falls. Arzon and his buddies, like, they climb up the... Well, I guess the other knights on the bridge died. But anyway, maybe, Arzon and his buddies... Arzon has his buddies boost him up to reach a rope ladder. He promises that he never forgets his friends, like as he's climbing up there, so he can, I don't know, I guess levitate them up after he gets magic powers, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. The latter turns to snakes in his hands.
What?
Which was
in
pretty...
In a shocking cross-promotion with snakes and ladders.
Which, I mean, like... Snakes. The snake ladder was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
he, brought to you in part by Milton Bradley.
Yeah. He lands on a ledge. Darkstorm makes fun of him, like, because, haha, snake ladder.
He's probably just trying to score some points with Merkin, because Merkin, like, he just shows up to laugh at people.
He's like, dick points for me.
Yeah.
So Arzon then grabs a big leaf. Just like a giant leaf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Inside of the mountain. Makes sense.
And he glides over Darkstorm.
No, he doesn't glide. He flies because he swoops down, but then he goes up at the end.
You can glide up.
He can't glide
so...
up. He's flying. What? Don't you believe a man can fly, Trent?
That's a quote.
That's straight up what he says.
Yeah, Arzon says, "What's the matter, Darkstorm? Don't believe a man can fly?"
And that's not the problem. Darkstorm tells,
I'm assuming it's a Superman reference.
Maybe, yeah. But
well, that was just a Superman reference in the tagline for the movie.
The tagline for the movie.
You'll believe a man can fly. Yeah.
But Mordred.
That was.
You know, that's not their problem. Mordred.
That was Kento Trent. Kento Trent.
Kentone.
Kentrone.
Yeah.
Kentrone.
Yeah, I like it.
On the Kent trombone.
He just says that he doesn't have a bow. So,
oh yeah, yeah. Darkstorm's lackey says like you can't shoot the Darkstorm is yeah.
Yeah, like he doesn't say like anything. What? Impossible. You know, things like that.
More dick points.
He just says shoot him down, and then Mordred says, "I have no bow, master." And he says, "You displease me, Mordred."
Well, so like Darkstorm doesn't
sort of like the "Don't you believe a man can fly" part? It doesn't fit in there anywhere.
Well, it's kind of like Darkstorm, like he's a knight or whatever. Like his bread and butter is fighting and like trapping people and fighting and whatever.
Capturing
and
slaves.
He does not. He somehow doesn't know that nobody in his company, or apparently anybody on the entire planet, has a bow.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're too busy carrying these big staffs, so people know who they are.
Right. Well, it's like, no, you think that, but there's no insignia on these staffs. I'm telling you, they're completely pointless.
No, we're going to put stickers on them later.
We're going to put stickers on them later.
Yeah, we don't know that yet.
Stickers, not included.
Maybe they just woke up. Maybe Merkin snuck into their rooms and, like, stuck these staves in there with their, like, while they were sleeping. And then they just woke up and there were these staves and they're like, you know what? I'm tired of my sword that cuts things and kills people. I'm going to take this stick with a mirror on the end.
I don't know. If you woke up with a stick with a... like a mirror that matched the one in your chest, you'd probably hold on to it.
Yeah,
like,
that's a valid
okay.
point.
Okay,
that's a
maybe.
Valid point.
Okay,
this
so,
might come in handy later on.
Speaking of later, Darkstorm and co. are catching up to Leoric and co. They have Mordred call out saying that he's hurt. Leoric hear that, and they walk all the way, like they walk back, they double back to help this person in distress. They walk all the way up to their enemy, who is feigning injury. All the way up to him.
They clearly say, you know, like, we were duped. It's Mordred. And then they keep walking
towards
him.
They keep walking up to him, like, to have, like, a conversation. Anyway, the others sneak ahead. The bad guys trap the good guys in a chamber with a sleeping gargoyle. They wake the gargoyle. The gargoyle bears down on them, like, and they're backed up against the gate wall or whatever. Leoric is like, "Don't worry, I've got a plan." He charges the gargoyle, and the gargoyle, it turns out, is just really scared of people running at him.
Yeah,
and the gargoyle runs away.
Yeah, and it goes yip 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 yip. You know, like
a new cross promotion with Disney's gargoyles,
and it was just like, that's not a plan. You just ran at the guy.
That was your plan?
That was the plan.
Get her?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Sick
I mean,
Sick
so
boy.
Like, if you were dealing with something like, say, a giant horse, like, a horse is not a carnivore. It's not a fighter. If you run straight at a horse, it's probably going to, like, run away or turn or whatever.
Or kick you.
Well, I mean, like, it might kick you.
What if it kicked you, Steve?
But it might just
it
run
would
away.
Have to turn around first.
Yeah, I can kick from the side.
Yeah,
it
well,
might just
right
run
right
away
front.
Is what I'm saying. because like it's not a fighter, but like this thing, it's a gargoyle. It's a magical gargoyle.
Well, Steve, you know that you're taking a lot of.
No, it's got claws and teeth and horns. Like, I don't. Those think... all imply something that fights.
But what? Yeah, like why would it even have? If it was just like a gargoyle, like created for destruction, why would it even
Although
have a self-preservation instinct?
It does have cloven hooves, so maybe it is kind of like a horse. Yeah.
I don't know. But then it, yeah, so farther ahead, Darkstorm lights his way with a match. He sees a skeleton on the wall. The skeleton says,
as if it's been like tortured, you know, and hung.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's just hanging there. The skeleton says, "Psst, this is a non-smoking section." And he blows out the match and says, "Smoking's downstairs." And he kicks Darkstorm down into a pit, which was my favorite part of the comic. So good. Darkstorm slowly climbs out of the tunnel. Elsewhere, Galadria, remember her from earlier.
Oh,
she didn't walk
we're
into
get
the
some
mouth.
Two-way with another chick.
She's walking across an underground lake on a giant balance beam.
Sure, because that's a thing.
With one of those handy balancing poles.
Yeah.
Like the tightrope walkers have.
Yeah, Virulina.
On those balance staves.
Virulina.
She's very virile.
Or virulent. So she's the evil woman.
Oh,
you
don't say.
In the universe. She attacks Galadria from behind. Galadria is also grabbed by a kraken and pulled down into the water or whatever. But then Galadria pulls the bathtub plug and the entire underground the submerged chamber just drains. I guess Virulina was so impressed by her pulling the plug that she didn't, like, they didn't fight each other afterward. It just changes scene.
Yeah, well, it's because they couldn't show them that they had gotten wet from their encounter. Well,
she does say, "We will meet again, Virulina."
Okay.
That whole thing.
Five speech.
There's so much text in this. Wow. But that's so you can reenact the girl fight in the bathtub.
Oh, hey, there
you
go.
When it's time to get out.
No. Because then the stickers would fall off.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
These are not water toys.
That's why they don't have stickers yet.
They're going to be much more careful once
they get the
stickers.
The girls don't get stickers.
Yeah. No, they've got spots for them.
Yeah, everybody's got
spots
for
That's for something
sticker.
Else to stick.
Okay.
Bees? Is it bees?
Yes.
Because, good foreshadowing, Will.
Yeah.
Because we cut to another scene where Cravex drops some bees on some knights and then steals their stuff, which was another pretty good scene. It's just like there's a beehive.
There
in
is so
cave.
Much like Looney Tunes inspired moments in this comic.
Okay, so then cut to Cryotech and Sindar are fighting. You would think that they have like fire and ice or whatever because their names. Cryotech and Sindar. Anyway, Cryotech, he has an open helmet, so you can tell that he's good.
Good guy.
Darkstorm. Well, cut to Darkstorm. He finally gets to the top of the tunnel. And he traps Sindar, Cravex, and Lexor by overturning a handy vat of, quote, spider's milk. Spider's milk.
A.K.A. his semen.
Well, he would have had to produce
All I'm saying
quite
is,
a lot of it.
We don't know how long they've been in this mountain.
Whatever, it's totally a chick spider. Like, every giant, like,
That's
fantasy
true, yeah.
spider
yeah,
is
it's always a woman.
Yeah, there's never a giant man spider.
Okay, well, because the women are more scary. Anyway, these guys who are trapped, they promised to join Team Darkstorm, even though he poured spider goo all over them.
Yeah, well, he told them that he has a cool castle.
Right, yeah, and they were like, and one of them is like, oh, yeah, totally, and then the other one's like, yeah, I guess, or whatever.
And it's like, how's the food? And then Darkstorm's like, it's good.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
This is, yeah.
I mean, we don't have any robotic chefs that are going to give you breathalyzers, but
Yeah.
But we've got a homeless guy who will blow you in the back.
So the six bad guys, yeah, we've got a homeless guy who will dress up in robot parts. And, yeah.
In fact, he's quite fond of the role.
Okay, so six bad guys and three good guys, if you're, you know, for those keeping score at home, get to the treasure room at the same time. They fight.
The good guys by smelling.
Yeah, like one of...
one of them can smell really good.
One of them can smell really good. I can't remember which one that was. It ties into whatever animal he gets later.
Feral.
Yeah, feral.
Nastralnagic.
Okay.
Just as good.
Yes, right. Yeah. That would be a great name for him. So the good guys are losing until the four knights that the bad guys backstabbed come back and they join the fight, and then it's much more even. The good guys are kind of winning. Merklin makes his face appear in the treasure room door because, you know, that's his M.O.
That's what he does.
He tells them to stop fighting, and they do.
Sure.
The door opens. And
because if there's one thing we've learned, it's these guys will do anything they're told to by anonymous face from the sky.
The thing I learned from this advertisement is that if you build model cars, the ladies will like you.
Ooh.
That's what this ad leads me
to
believe.
Oh, yeah, it does, actually.
They will 124th like you. 1/526th like you.
Whatever the ratio is to life's scale.
You know, whatever. Then like he opens up the door and like there's this part, like there's all these swirly ghosts like from the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark swirling around in there. They have to walk through all that, you know, all those whippoorwills or whatever you will.
Have you seen the ghost of, I don't know, should we say John?
Merkin.
John.
So the door opens,
You guys want to do it around?
No.
While they're walking through, they have to face the illusions of all their fears in this mist or whatever, I guess. You know, just one last test.
It's almost like they're having...
I think it's a trap.
Visions.
I didn't even think of that.
As they are soon to become.
Merklin congratulates them. He explains that he's been hiding out in this mountain since the last time the suns aligned, which was 1,000 years ago. He gives the knights holographic spirit animals for their Teletubbies. He gives bonus holographs to the knights that, you know,
brought sticks,
had the foresight to bring some mirror sticks.
Yeah.
And now they have the power to rebuild or destroy the world. The end.
What?
The beginning.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Well, also, they can turn into their spirit. So, like, their powers, like, they have a bunch of different powers. Like, part of their powers are they can turn into their spirit animals. So, like, you know, dudes can turn into bears or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. There's
and, like, it all
kind
of relates to, like, the stuff that they did or whatever.
And
like,
their names.
Yeah, the stuff that...
So, the dude that can run's a cheetah.
Like, when you're
reading...
The dude
that can fly is a hawk.
When this dude,
it's an eagle.
When Merklin's distributing powers at the end, like, you're like, oh, this is why that scene was so forced.
Yeah,
it takes so many panels, too. Oh.
This is why there was a scene where one knight dropped a bunch of bees on the other knights.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Visionaries.
The writer is forgettable, but the artist still around, still employed on some pretty big titles.
Yeah,
Mark Bagley.
Yeah,
oh, that's fun.
Where should read the art's not bad.
Avengers Assemble. He's done more recent things, but I can't remember what. Right off the hand, offhand. So this is just another. Of the long, in fact, I have Thundercats number one somewhere we can read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Also by Star Comics.
Yeah, oh, really? Nice.
Just another of the long line of,
tie-ins.
Action figure to television show to comic book properties taken over by Star Comics. How did Marvel like almost go out of business? They had like so many properties teamed up with.
Well, I mean, like Visionaries, I don't think did them any good because Visionaries, I think it maybe only lasted like 12 issues.
You can only mistakenly buy not He-Man so often until your kids freak out.
Michael Cera, are you licking my comics?
Yeah, he might be actually. it's also something that is said to customers at the old comic shop.
Okay, sorry guys, I'm back.
Guys,
No, he didn't really anything at the old shop. He was too mopey back then.
Yeah, he was sad. He's like, they're not coming back for me, are they? Oh. Nope.
Well, and...
they're not, and they're still not.
I want to say that the cartoon for Visionaries only lasted like half a season or something.
Now, guys, what did you like about this comic book?
I liked the skeleton part. That was my favorite part. Smoking's downstairs, and then he kicks him down a tunnel.
He kicks him down the tunnel. Now, the question was that just Merlin? Merklin?
I don't know.
I think it was all just part of his dungeon.
Yeah. Merklin also the gargoyle?
No, they're all just like his minions.
They're things, they're actual things.
They were actual things.
They weren't just visions.
I think Merklin, before the sun's aligned, built a Faraday cage around the entire mountain. Mm-hmm. And so it was blocked from technology and it was the last hangout for all of these monsters or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were getting up to some crazy hijinks in 1,000 years, you know? It's kind of like the Addams Family.
It got pretty weird inside.
Well, I bet it did, but I'm thinking,
And then one guy got chained to a wall and no one would let him out.
It's probably because he was always trying to crawl inside the body of wizards because that was the only way he could get off. So the robots all chained him to a wall.
They chained him to a wall and then they blew smoke in his face.
If and you spend the next 1,000 years being like, stupid people.
Next
guy I see, I'll show him where the smoking section is.
Right?
The bottom of that pit.
Luckily, there's a giant pit at my feet.
That's why his one-liner was so sharp. He had just been thinking about that before.
He's like, let's see, I can blow and I can kick.
It was the jerk store perfected for 1,000 years before delivered.
I'm going to play to my strengths. If that gargoyle was hanging out for 1,000 years and he was scared of anything, wouldn't he be scared of like other animate objects?
Yeah, that's why he ran.
No, he would run just like as soon as he saw him.
Yeah.
I don't get
it. I remember what I liked how the good guys got like kind of noble animals except for the guy who got the monkey.
Yeah,
but I like how the bad guys got like insulting animals, and like Merkin made fun of him as he gave them to him. It's like he made this whole thing about how he's gonna give powers to the people who made it, and then he made fun of some of the people who made it.
Yeah, Merkin's a dick.
Yeah,
and I mean
who made him in charge of the world? That's
right?
What I want to know.
Did he have to kill? So in this world, wouldn't you think that then there would have to be a robot then to maintain
somewhere
like
something
or a technomancer?
It just makes me mad because it says that like somehow he makes all the laws of science stop working.
He didn't though. It was the suns.
Whatever.
It was astrology. What did it?
Yeah,
astrology will finally have its day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. So like,
if
you were
only
saying,
we could follow the zodiac.
Yeah.
For bootlicking and other loathsome acts, I give you Mordred, the lowly scampering beetle. And Mordred is saying, I am offended, as the beetle crawls into his chest.
Wait, let me see that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
That might be who I had, actually.
You had Mordred?
I think I had Mordred.
He had a pretty cool helmet.
It's hard to tell because they're all purple and have closed helmets.
No, some of them are orange. Many of them are orange. This one is orange and teal.
I also like how...
check out this dude's legs. He's got, like, the thing legs.
I can't remember the chick's name.
He's got, like, big old geodes growing out of his legs.
That's part of the Amar.
The good chick. I don't remember her name. I like how her totem was the dolphin because it was the smartest of all the animals.
Also, she fell into some water.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's right.
Well, because the evil one got a shark. But it was like... He doesn't say that. He just
really
said cuz she's
know
the cuz she was
you ladies.
She was crafty and cunning by, you know, pulling the lever that was the only thing she could reach to escape her peril, but
I don't know what to make you. You're smooth down there.
I would be pretty insulted.
Let's make you a fish.
Like if the smartest of all the animals and it was just a dolphin, I'd be like, why not just like a picture of me on there? So I'm pretty sure I am smarter than a dolphin.
Can I be my spirit animal?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Well, they're proving that Merkin's a dick.
Because Merkin's not into her, he's into dolphins.
Oh, maybe the dolphins are into him.
Because
they rape so much stuff.
What did you guys dislike about this comic book? Let's focus on maybe just one thing.
It seemed like it was written by the kid who like got made fun of in computer class, and so he was like, "Yeah, we weren't in computers and ruin everything. And wish I was born back in the day and everything would be so much better. And all the chivalry and smooch me because I'm a chivalrous knight." That's what I do.
And I'll just be a dick to everybody and make these girls into dolphins and watch them fuck.
I think
if I were a wizard, they'd all be so sorry. That's just the vibe I got from it.
Stupid word munchers tell me I'm no good.
I think didn't like that.
The biggest thing that I disliked was how kind of forced it all seemed.
Yeah. Like
this dude was obviously working backwards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had like the end in mind, and you could just tell, like, okay, they got to do this somehow.
Well, and
there wasn't enough thought that went into it to make it natural, you know?
You've seen the cartoons episode, Steve.
I saw like half of the first one. I stopped when the skeleton didn't kick him down a hole.
Is there a narrator that is as heavy worded as the panels are in this? Because seriously, it's a giant size first issue, so it's 52 pages, and
it's 52 pages.
That's what a giant size usually is.
Sorry,
it was a lot of pages,
but there is a ton of text.
There is
a ton of text in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I don't know. Back before you didn't like have Twitter or anything, like you.
Steve,
you have all of your bases covered.
Are you trying to make Twitter not be a thing anymore?
Or
yeah.
You mean like?
I just wish that we had like all of this freaking technology would go away so that people would, I don't know.
So people would talk to each other. It's more like anti-social media.
I have to use my magic to open doors instead of, you know, electricity to do it for me.
People with might and metal could finish a comic book. You'd have to have fortitude. You can't rely on technology. Come on. So says Merklin.
Well, I think this brings us to the point where we now write the comic book. I'm going to kick things off. And I'm going to say, we're going to need one Mephisto to put it into the Marvel Universe out of the Star Comics Universe.
Well, okay.
And then,
it's a short jump.
You know, maybe a Mephisto to make them all inhumans. Because that's a thing now. We have to make everything inhumans that was a mutant.
Okay.
And then,
I did like the Hulk ad.
Is a good Hulk ad in there, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, that coincides.
I'm like a Hulk, a mutant?
That coincides with.
Yeah.
What's his name? Todd McFarlane when he was drawn Hulk.
That was. Just a quick aside here. In the Marvel Universe, like, what is the big deal with. It's like, could Spider-Man be a mutant? Who cares?
Yeah.
Has powers comparable to a mutant.
Well, because then he's a freak.
He's already a freak.
Yeah. Nope. He was born normal.
No.
Yeah, but like, what the hell difference does that make?
It was a choice. He wasn't born that way.
It wasn't a choice.
It was an accident.
No one has ever been like, I'm going to choose to get bit by this radioactive spider.
He got touched by a spider, Ron. And it made him that way.
Yeah.
Shit, god damn it, I knew that. You got there before I did.
Anyway,
I give this like six Mephistos.
Maybe
like
one Mephisto to go through and take out all the pages that aren't a skeleton kicking a guy into a cliff.
Well, to be fair, the part where the crafty knight dropped bees on the other guys was pretty.
You know, know what? It would take one Mephisto to put this all in Eternia.
Yeah.
And then it would be taken care of.
Well, and I mean, like, make them wacky. Like, none of these knights are very
right.
Different.
Everyone's so focused on being Arthurian.
Yeah.
That there is no wackiness to it.
And I mean, like, the shapes on the knights are different. Like, they're designed different or whatever. But, like, you know, it's not like in He-Man where, like, one of the dudes has, like, a fish head for a head. You know?
And he's called Fish Head.
Yeah. So it's not, like, there aren't, like, fun differences like that. They're all just kind of like, a bunch of assorted knights that you can put different stickers on.
Yeah. No,
and that's how you tell the difference.
And you don't get to choose what stickers come on them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, well, the stickers are, you know,
it's just whatever your parents accidentally bought for you and said, here's your He-Mans. And you're like, what? This is a visionary.
Well, if you knew.
No, it goes with the GoBots I got instead of Transformers. Thanks, Mom.
GoBots.
You cunt.
Oh.
I was a very needy child.
I didn't even know that word until like 3 years ago.
I shit you not. I did not like hang it. Like, my brother, who's 10 years my elder, watched me and. Okay. I picked up the word cocksucker and didn't know what it meant or that it was like derogatory term. So I started throwing cocksucker out all the time, and I got in trouble for it.
That's like us in fart knocker.
That's a good term.
Well, like, does it even mean anything?
Yeah.
Well, because like...
It's butt sex.
Yeah, but like if there's a fart in there, it's kind of like... Yeah, wouldn't that be uncomfortable?
Yeah, I would assume as much.
Or maybe it like gives it a little bit of extra spring because like the gas is compressed.
No,
Like an
maybe
AK.
Maybe for the knocker, but not for the receivee.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Like that would. I mean, you want to talk about impacted bowels? Literally.
This is where we announce Trent's reboot of his podcast, Out of the Closet.
A straight view out of the closet.
Yeah,
the closet. But in this time, I just ask straight people what they think it might be like to be gay.
Yeah.
Straight out of Columbston. That's a stretch, but I think we got there.
Steve, how do you rate this?
Oh, geez. I think mine is a base 5 system.
Yeah, sure. Throw some no prizes at it.
I'm giving this 2 out of 5 no prizes. Yeah. 1 for the skeleton, 1 for the bees.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, like, mine is 1 for the jerk. Well, I mean, I don't know. I kind of liked how just what a dick the wizard was. He was just an
well,
unapologetic
he had dick. Some personality. He was the only one that did.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. Like, it's weird how every time we talk about a bad comic, we come up with some explanation for how this universe got to be the way it is.
Yeah,
and
through
through
robo bondage.
And in doing so, we come up with like 10 better ideas for better comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like all of these magical creatures trapped in Magic Mountain while science goes on all around them.
Yeah.
Just having, you know, Adam's Family adventures.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
I'd give it 1.5. I'm going to say the Marvel Universe will never be the same. Because I did like some parts of it. You know, like, I did like the...
I think Michael Cera is now crying on my comics.
He might be.
Sorry.
You teased him enough.
I like the...
Now he's going to go write his own fiction about where dogs become knights.
The skeletons, and I like the bees. I remember there being one other part that I thought was kind of funny. And I didn't like the names. So yeah,
I think
1.5.
The names weren't very
I
good.
I think that if this was, if they cut like 10 pages out of this,
yeah,
if they
it would
made
it
be,
really
it wouldn't nearly be as bad.
Yeah.
The fact that I think they had to make it a giant size.
Why?
And because,
well,
like, the first
14 action
yeah, they
figures.
Had to,
yeah. Well, and the first five pages aren't even needed. You can just say it was a time after technology. Or, you know,
I guess so.
Like,
I mean,
you don't need any of that with the floating Denny's or anything.
But then, there we go. Sorry, Daisy ran off with my headphone cord.
I know, she tried hanging herself on mine earlier.
But then it wouldn't have made any sense when this dick wizard was just like, hey guys, I'm giving away some power. You want some?
He's like, I just finished my Grand Slam.
There's another better comic, Dick Wizard.
Oh,
that's his name, but he just, you know, goes like he's just a,
his name is Dick.
He's just an old wizard dude, you know, he's
named
rocking
Dick.
The robes every day, walking around and just using his powers for
dickish
know, selfish entertainment.
He's like Mr. Matt. Oh, what
Alan Moore?
No, the Magic Man. Magic Man from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
He does that. What he does.
Magic Man is
he just goes around and dicks with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, this has been another edition of 4CC.
Yes.
Steve,
uh-huh.
If people want to follow what you do on the internet, what should they do?
You at Steven D. Kent. I mean, like, if you are in the games industry making video games, You can read gamesauce.org.
Will, what if people want to follow you places in the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter. I tweet at Will D. Kent infrequently.
And
I infrequently tweet at Will D. Kent. Yeah. Not
you tweet at him?
Yeah. Not Will D. Kent infrequently, because that would be...
That would be a long... You'd only have like four characters to use afterwards.
This is why we should use
Do they have a length limit on on Twitter handles? Because if so,
there's got to be.
I want one that is the maximum number, except for one character. So, people could only tweet me one letter at a time.
Just an existential.
It would be a reply, damn it. Yeah. And you can follow me a part of him. Until next time, may all your visions be captured in foil on your chest.
Until next time, don't leave home without your mirror stick.
Until...
Oh, did you forget it? You better drive back. Get your mirror stick. It'll come in handy. You never know. It could come in handy any second now.
Until next time, remember that the smoking section is downstairs.
Thanks for listening to another episode of 4CC. We like to call it Fork, right here on the A Part of Him Podcast Network. If you'd like to sponsor an episode here on the network, and also ensure that episodes are released on a regular schedule, just make a purchase via the links at apartofhim.com/support. Then let us know what you bought, or just that you bought something. Not tell us what you know, you know, what you bought. Just let us know. Many thanks to the group Can't Stop, Won't Stop. That's where we pulled our music for the opening intro from. The brothers Kent, well, I mean, honestly, they are a part of him. I mean, that sounds... But anyway, make sure to tell them thanks for this episode, because honestly, without them, there's no A Part of Him Network, let alone 4CC. So, thanks for listening. I have been super busy trying to, keep a comic shop running, but... As listener sponsors episodes, I'll be committed to pushing them out on a regular basis. All right, that's it. You've been listening to another program on the A Part of Him,
A Part of Him
Podcast Network.
I bet my Wookiee.
Will won that one.
A Johann scream, whatever they call that.
A Wilhelm.
Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. That's a goofy scream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's a Wilhelm?
That's the one.
Hold on.
That one turned out way more Latino.
I would say it's not. I would say it's not very reproducible.
Gonzalez, yeah.
I'd say it's not very reproducible, but it's
really
like,
hard to do, okay?
It's in like,
I want to hear you try to do a Wilhelm scream.
I don't know what a Wilhelm scream is.
I point it out every time we hear it, and we hear it all the time. And I'm like, hey, it's the Wilhelm scream. And you're like, what's the Wilhelm scream? And I'm like, it's the scream that is in absolutely everything.